Thank you. Good evening. I'm Adriana Casnave, the acting chair of the 2017 Pacifica National Board of Directors, and I'm calling the meeting to order. I have invited parliamentarian John Tatum to be on
here.
The call. Is he on the call?
Here, I'm here.
Thank you. I will now ask Acting Secretary Janet Coburn to call the roll.
Okay. Aaron KPFK, here, present. Alexander KPFK,
here,
present. Jim Brown, WPFW, can't hear you. Sharon Brown, KPFK,
present.
Present. Campisi, KPFA,
present.
Present. Casnave, KPFT,
present.
Present. Crozier, KPFT,
I'm here.
Present. Davis, WBAI,
I'm here.
Present. Diaz, WPFW,
present.
Present. Garner, KPFK,
KPFT, Rhonda, I'm present.
Oh, KPFT, sorry.
Okay.
Present. Goodman, KPFK, can't hear you. Jacobs, KPFA,
present.
Present. Lawford, WBAI,
present.
Present. Mark, KPFT,
present.
Present. Wangaza, WMXP affiliate,
present.
Present. Roberts, WBAI,
present.
Present. Sorden, WPFW,
here.
Present. Steinberg, WBAI. Steinberg, can't hear you. Tanaka, KPFA,
present.
Present. Shibanda, Uhura Radio affiliate,
Uhura,
present. Turner, KPFA, can't hear you. Makila, Washington, WPFW, can't hear you. Chair, we have quorum.
Thank you. We have a quorum, but for an improperly called meeting of both the open session and the associated closed session that is on the Pacifica calendar, stated to start at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time. It is true that three directors can call in a special meeting of the PMB, but that means that they must request of the chair and secretary their availability for their proposed date of such a meeting, in which case the chair must authorize the meeting in order for it to be noticed. In addition, all directors should be noticed by the chair of the meeting 7 days in advance of the meeting. That was not done in this case. And finally, regarding a meeting called by three directors, the notice on the calendar for tonight's open meeting was listed only the name of one individual coming forward, Mr. Bill Trotsky. And therefore, I, as acting chair, adjourn this meeting. Thank you.
A point of order, that's all. Much of that is incorrect. That's not correct, Madam Chair.
Janet Coburn, I'm leaving the call. The meeting is adjourned.
Point of order.
Well, one of us needs to call the meeting to order because what she said
Karine
was not
Roberts
true.
Karine Roberts is leaving the call. This is an improperly noticed meeting. It has been adjourned.
I was properly noticed. Excuse me.
I repeat, I'm leaving the improperly called meeting.
Adjourned.
Well, this is interesting.
Well, I'll call the roll.
Mr.
Okay,
Tatum,
well,
are you on the call?
Nancy,
this is
Jordan
Timber
is
Shibanda.
Leaving.
This is an
Hello?
Improper meeting, and I'm
Hello?
Leaving the call.
Rhonda Garner is remaining on the call.
Campisi is remaining on the call. I think we should elect a chair pro tem and a secretary pro tem.
I think that sounds like a good idea.
This is an improperly called meeting.
I second that.
Could you say why it's an improper meeting?
This is improperly called a noticed meeting. Nancy Sorden is leaving the call.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Well, don't worry, Ken. No. It's not correct what she said. It was properly noticed.
Yeah.
And
look
at the meeting
Who's trying to stay on the line and argue about this? Don't argue about it. You want to fall in with them, you go right ahead. We do have a quorum. This meeting was properly called, okay?
No,
goodbye.
And frankly,
Sabrina Jacobs, KPFA, I'm staying on the call. Go ahead. We're going to have elections.
Okay.
So should somebody make a motion to appoint a temporary chair?
This is Jim Brown. I'm getting off the call.
Well, okay. I'll nominate Milton Alexander as a pro tem chair.
Pardon me?
I second that motion. This is Grace Aaron. I second that motion.
Okay, could someone repeat the motion? I didn't hear it.
I nominated Jonathan Alexander to be pro tem chair.
Okay.
Okay.
Accept
the nomination. Then you can call the roll.
I accept the nomination. And I nominate Akio to be the pro tem secretary.
I accept that.
I second.
Well, I think shouldn't we just have one motion on the floor at a time? We should elect the pro tem chair or just do it by unanimous consent. And then we do the secretary next.
Okay.
So why don't you do that,
Bill? Just lead us.
Well, why don't we do ask for unanimous consent to appoint Jonathan Alexander to pro tem chair. Do we have unanimous consent? Does anybody object? Hearing no objections, Jonathan Alexander, you are our pro tem chair. Take it over. Now we should go to secretary.
Okay. Now we need a motion on the floor for secretary.
So you want nominations, Jonathan? Ask for nominations.
I would like nominations for pro tem secretary for this meeting.
This is Grace. I nominate Aki Tanaka.
This is Bill Campisi. I second the nomination.
And I accept.
Jonathan, any other nominations?
Are there any other nominations?
Yes.
Hearing none.
Hello.
Wait, I'm sorry.
Yes, I nominate Sabrina Jacob as vice chair.
We're doing secretary right now.
No, we just got done with secretary. Aki accepted.
Now Jonathan asked if he asked for unanimous consent. Doesn't mean whether he accepted.
For unanimous consent. Are there any objections to Aki being the pro tem secretary? Hearing none, we'll move on to vice chair. Are there any nominations for a vice chair?
Well, excuse me. Point of order. When we're doing pro tem chair and secretary, that's really all that we need. We don't need elections for permanent elections. Those are being done by ballot. So all we need to do to proceed with this meeting is to have a pro tem chair and a pro tem secretary. That's all we need for the meeting until we do the final elections.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. Then I'm going to call the roll then.
Point of order. Aki, the roll was already called and the meeting was started.
Okay, that's fine.
And therefore, we already have quorum.
Okay,
so
that's right.
We can proceed with this meeting.
Right.
Okay. In that case,
this is Cass. Catherine with a point of order.
Yes, mm-hmm. Catherine.
My point of order is that due to the alternate tally for the affiliate director's election should be used in the seating of affiliate directors, as the other tally does not allow proper representation from WBAI and the election of affiliate directors. So this is my point of order, and my point being is that it not allowing the three directors from WBAI to vote in that election was an egregious violation of Article 5, Section 1, Part C by the Pacifica bylaws, which states that the board shall have equal representation from each of the foundation's five radio stations. This bylaws violation is more serious than any question of how meetings were noticed or any real or imagined minor procedural error.
Okay. I uphold that. I see no reason to disagree with that. Does anyone object?
Okay.
This is Bill Campisi. I appeal the chair's ruling.
Is there a second?
This is Grace. I second that motion. Right. I'm sorry. I didn't understand. I withdraw my second. I don't second it.
Can we hear why it's being what from Mr. Campisi, why he's challenging it? I would like the information.
If there's no second, that's fine. Bill, if you want to motivate.
Well, challenge the chair. You need a second.
Hello, this is Alex.
Hi, Alex.
Hi, Alex.
One of the reasons I wanted to appeal the ruling of the chair because I thought there should be a vote. I mean, the way you're setting it up is there's not even going to be a vote. And I think that's probably a bad idea. I think you guys should have a vote, and I don't know why you're doing it as a point of order. You know, it doesn't make sense to me. Don't you want to have an on-the-record vote? I would think you would.
If someone would second...
Okay, this is Grace. I'll second. It's a good argument.
Yes, I'll second.
Good. So now we're going to move to a vote. But first...
So do I have to bring a motion then?
No.
No. No, you don't, Kevin. Jonathan, if I may. So a yes vote is to uphold the appeal. So if you don't want to uphold the appeal, you vote no. And if you vote no, then you support the chair. If you vote yes, then you're voting yes to the appeal. Then you'd be supporting me.
Okay.
Is that right, Jonathan? Is that your understanding?
I think that's backwards, Crozier. But it doesn't matter as long as it's clear which way you're voting for.
So what are we
doing? Normally, yes.
No, again, if you're going to uphold the ruling of the chair, that means that you would be agreeing with Ms. Davis's motion. Or if you... vote against the ruling of the chair, then you would be voting with Mr. Campisi's opinion. But should we take, I don't know if we actually have 2-2, but if we want, we can take a debate for 2-4 and 2 against.
Well, point of again, this is Bill Campisi on parliamentary procedure, point of order.
Yes,
normally, the way a point of order is on an appeal is debated is each member of the body is entitled to a one-time argument on the point of order, so that if you go around and every person has the right to speak for 90 seconds. We don't have a timekeeper yet. And then the chair can speak, and then the vote must be called. So that's how you deal with a point of order. But my own recommendation to clarify this would be that Ms. Davis withdraw her point of order and just bring a motion to do whatever you guys want to do. And then it's much clearer rather than do it as a point of order. In my opinion, it just would be much clearer. Just make a motion for whatever you folks want to do. And then we know that. Anyway, okay.
Yeah,
point
I think that.
Point of information, this is Alex.
Yes, Alex.
Can someone tell me what it is? What is the point of order that we will be debating?
Okay.
Ms. Davis,
you want to
I will read it again. The alternate tally for the affiliate director election should be used in the seating of affiliate directors, as the other tally does not allow proper representation from WBAI in the election of affiliate directors.
Do you wish to put that in the form of a motion?
Mr. Crozier.
I do withdraw my point of order and put in the form of a motion. I move that the alternate tally for the affiliate director's election should be used in the seating of affiliate directors, as the other tally does not allow proper representation from WBAI in the election of affiliate directors. Is it?
Second.
Second.
Second. Yeah.
I believe that this should remain as a point of order.
She's already withdrawn it. It's a motion now.
And it belongs to the body then. But there's no second thus far.
I seconded.
There is a second. Aki seconded.
Okay.
It's okay. It's all right.
All right. Then, again, if
this is Mark.
Someone
I'd like
wished
to
speak.
On the stack.
Ron?
Yeah, this is Robert Mark. Yeah, I would just like to address this. It's my understanding that this matter was taken up at a previous meeting. So it would seem to me that what we're doing is rescinding a previous action of this board. There hasn't been, you know, a week's worth of notice on this, so I believe it would require a two-thirds vote of all present if somebody wants to amend the motion to make it a rescission.
May I speak?
This is Crozier.
Who is that?
Good.
I'm sorry,
Ms.
I couldn't
Sabrina,
hear you.
I'd like
that?
To be added to the. This is Sabrina. I want to be added to the SAG TPSA. What time?
Oh,
what sure. Date and time?
Hold on,
was this
Sabrina. Just a minute.
That this was brought up.
Oh, I'm a music chick.
This is Alex Steinberg. I'd like to speak on that.
Go ahead, Alex.
Wait, just a minute. Can you guys hear me? Just a minute.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was having a problem for a second. So before Sabrina was Bill, then Alex, then Rhonda?
No, I didn't have my name on there.
I'm sorry, Sabrina.
Yes.
Okay.
I would just like to, I'm posing a
wait,
point.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Bill. Bill
okay,
has
go
the
ahead,
floor.
Bill.
Oh, I'll defer to Alex. Go ahead, Alex. But you can come back to me.
Okay.
Alex first. Okay, my colleague who brought up the point previously about this needing to be rescind the previous motion is incorrect. This was never brought before the Pacifica board previously. We have not had a meeting in which it could have been brought up.
Okay, then after Alex. Go back to Bill. Did you want to go next? Or
well, I was going to say essentially the same thing. I don't believe we have the PNB ever voted on this. And frankly, I think it was fine as a point of order. I don't care how we do it now, but because it, I mean, the reason that it might be better as a point of order because it involves whether it's proper to exclude the WBI's directors' ballots from that election, but I'll defer. I'll let the others talk. Sorry.
Mine was more of a point of information because I was asking Robert Marks when was this discussed in a PNB meeting, but Alex cleared that up. So thank you, Alex. I'm done.
Thank you.
This is Catherine.
Go ahead.
Okay, so I brought this up as a point of order, and I would like to dispense with it as a point of order. So I'm withdrawing the motion and returning to a point of order, and then I would just ask that the vote for the chair to be upheld or not.
All right, so you're making a new point of order, so the chair needs to rule on that first, Catherine.
Yes.
I'm going to rule on whether or not you can do that, so yes, you can.
Okay. All right. So my I return to my point of order. The alternate tally for the affiliate director's election should be used in the seating of affiliate directors, as the other tally does not allow proper representation from WBAI in the election of affiliate directors.
We got the rule on that.
All right. Can you hear me now? I'm going to rule on that point of order, and I move that. I rule that to uphold that the alternate tally be taken.
This is Bill Campisi, and I appeal the ruling of the chair.
Okay. The decision of the chair is appealed from Mr. Campisi. Now we're going to take the vote.
Is there a second?
No.
All right. Okay. Are there any seconds?
This is Grace. I second that motion.
Sorry. I felt like we were here before. Now we move to debate. Or did we not just debate the heck out of this already?
Point of order, Mr. Speaker.
I'm sorry, who was that with the point of order?
There can't be two points of order on the floor at the same time. Only one point of order at a time.
Okay.
Well, I want to point out that you do not...
But I need to know who you are,
point
sir.
Of order.
Is that Alex? Okay.
I just wanted to say you do not need a second on a point of order.
Okay, thank you. For a while, guys, please just say your name so I can get used to your voices sharing the meeting. And Mr. Campisi, you appealed the ruling of the chair. And so now we will move to debate yet again.
And a great second is that.
Right. And who wants to...
Who's going to be our... A point of privilege. Is there a timekeeper being appointed, and are we going to do we get 90 seconds or
We could appoint timekeepers real quickly, unless someone has an objection to that. Do I have any volunteers for timekeepers?
I'll volunteer. This is Rhonda.
Okay, thank Rhonda. You. Thank you. And we're going to give 90 seconds to each person speaking. For or against, does anyone wish to be to the stack?
Mark, request for information.
What's your question?
Was there a second to the challenge to the ruling of the chair?
Yes, Grace did it.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, does anyone want to debate this?
Well, the Bill Campisi does.
Go ahead.
My view is that I just think in the interest of board harmony and an intent to work together, that it would be better if we don't change the makeup of the board. I realize I wasn't here for all the history of this, and I know all of you feel very strongly about it. And I know you all want to have the majority of the directors on the board so you can do whatever you want to do, because that was what was done to you. But I just think it's the wrong way to go. Certainly, if Pacifica fails, which it may do, it'll be all on you, since you hold the absolute majority on the board. And it looks to me like this board is heading in the same direction. Tonight was a perfect example of all the other boards that have been in existence for the last 16 years of complete conflict, which in my view so doom Pacifica. So that's all I have to say.
Catherine to the staff.
I'm sorry, who was that? Catherine?
Alex.
Catherine.
And Alex?
Yes.
Anyone else before we get started? Okay, go ahead, Catherine.
Yes, I just want to make clear that this point of order is about correcting an injustice that took place earlier in 2016 on this board, and it was an injustice that needs to be corrected in order for the listeners and the supporters to be fully represented according to their votes. So the WBAI directors who were denied the ability to be a part of this process are representatives of listeners and staff. And those listeners and staff have been disenfranchised for an entire year. And I feel that it is imperative that the listeners and staff of WBAI are represented, as much of the conversation has to do with that particular station. And it's about doing what's right. It's about honoring the vote as it occurred and correcting what could be characterized as an error, so that we could go forward according to the listeners and the supporters of this network.
Time.
And Alex?
Yes, I would like to object to the previous speaker who characterized the motives of those who were bringing forward this point of order. The purpose of this point of order is not to aggrandize our position on the national board. At least as far as I am concerned, it is to right a wrong and to follow certain principles. And if every member of the board followed principles equally, we wouldn't have 90% of the problems that we do have. I've already written and discussed in great detail why the failure to allow the WBAI directors to vote for affiliate directors was wrong. So I'm not going to rehearse that again. If anybody is interested, I'll be glad to send them some literature on the topic. And I did not hear any principled argument as to why that wrong should not be corrected, other than the belief that somehow this will restore harmony to the board. It will not restore harmony to the board. It will, well, if this wrong is not corrected, all it will do will be to cement an injustice and a continuing breach of the bylaws. Thank you.
Does anyone else wish to speak?
Okay. This is Andrea. Hello.
You have the floor.
Yeah, I'm just calling in just to let you know I'm on the call.
Okay, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
This is Bill speaking with a point of order, John.
Pardon me?
Not a point of order, a point of information, a request for information.
That's a question?
Well, I would ask that you inform Andrea Turner what the status of the meeting is. I mean, what's happened? I think she ought to know since she just arrived. That's my view, and you know that's all I'm suggesting.
That makes sense. Real quickly, Andrea, a point of order was raised in regards to the affiliate election. The ruling of the chair was appealed by Mr. Campisi, and we just finished debate on it, and now we're going to move to a vote.
Jonathan, excuse me, it's Bill Campisi again. On the point of information, I was also thinking that perhaps you could give her a little background about what happened at the beginning of this meeting, so that she'll understand why there's an absence of anybody from the Roberts Kazanave faction at this meeting.
Okay.
So
I understand, but a point of information is when you have a question. I understand what you're trying to do, and I agree with you here. It's important that she's brought up to speed. Catherine, if you wish to give a brief outline of your point of order, we can
thank
do that.
You.
But I do believe after that we're going to move to a vote. But I wouldn't have her vote without knowing what she's voting on.
The point of order is the alternate tally for the affiliate director's election should be used in the seating of affiliate directors, as the other tally does not allow proper representation from WBAI in the election of affiliate directors.
Thank you.
And just to be clear, Ms. Turner, a yes vote upholds the ruling of the chair, and a no vote is against the ruling of the chair. Okay. Now, Mr. Secretary, can you take roll?
Sure.
Could you explain to you which is yes and no again, please, John?
Okay, certainly.
A yes vote upholds the ruling of the chair to uphold Ms. Davis's point of order. A no vote is against my ruling. So the result will be of a yes vote will be that we will accept the alternate tally, including the votes of all directors.
Thank you.
Okay, I just want to clarify that since we're voting on the challenge, so that we're still going to, even though it's a challenge, yes means it's supporting the chair, and no is supporting the challenge of the chair. Is that right?
Correct.
So yes is
a yes vote opposed the ruling of the chair.
Okay. So I just want to make sure.
Okay. Go ahead, Aki.
All right. So Grace?
I vote yes.
Okay. And Jonathan?
All right. Save me for last.
Okay. And Jim Brown? Yeah. Sharon Brown? So Ken Pesey? Bill Ken Pesey? Hey, Bill?
No, I'm sorry. I had the phone off.
Okay. Adriana, here. Bill Crozier?
Yes, to uphold the chair.
Okay. Catherine Davis?
Yes, to uphold the chair.
And Benito? I know. Wanda Garner?
Yes.
Okay. Jan Goodman? Sabrina Jacobs?
Pass.
What's that?
Can I pass for now?
Okay, sure.
Pass.
Thank you. And Ken Lawford?
Yes.
Okay. Robert Mark?
Pass.
Okay. Ifya? Tareen? Roberts? Nancy Soden, Alex Steinberg?
Yes.
Okay. And Hassan Kuna. Kimba. Andrea Turner. Okay. And Mosquito. Okay, so I'm going to go back to Jonathan Alexander.
Yes.
Okay. And Sabrina?
Yeah.
Okay. And Robert Mark?
Present, not voting.
Okay, not voting. And then come to Tanaka. And I guess vote yes. All right. So that's one. And Andrea Torres.
Hello. Did you call me?
Yes.
Yes,
okay. You call yes. All right. So 10 yes, and 1 no, and 1 not voting. So how does that hold the chair?
Sorry. Okay, that motion passes. Or that ruling is upheld. Sorry. Now we're going to move on.
Point of order.
Who's that?
This is Alex Steinberg.
Yes, Alex, what's your point of order?
Well, as since we passed, since the ruling of the chair just passed to validate the alternative tally, that means that Dave Beaton should be invited to attend the remainder of this meeting as the other affiliate delegate.
Is there someone who can contact Mr. Beaton?
Yeah, Bill Crozier. I'll do that.
Thank you, Bill. Okay. I don't believe that we have... Do we have any excused absences? And I don't believe the people that... I don't know if people that got off the call one excused absences they didn't say. I guess there are no excused absences. I'll ask a second time. Okie doke. Moving right along. Okay, I guess it's time to approve the agenda. Do I ever hear a motion to approve the agenda?
What is the agenda?
So moved. Mrs. Grace, so moved.
Okay, Grace, is there a second?
Just a second, Crozier. To answer the question, I emailed it out late last night.
Right.
Do I need to send it again?
No, thank you.
Okay, and it's also posted on the KPFTX calendar for the open session.
Oh, I'm not receiving it.
Okay.
But can we have it read to us?
No problem. It will be easy. I'd read it myself. Item 3 is agenda approval. Item 4 is letters from Registry for a Charitable Trust regarding our tax status. Item 5 is begin search. Ooh. I made sure I was reading the open session. Begin search for new foundation general legal counsel. And 6 is to adjourn. It's a brief agenda. And then we would go to a closed session, presumably. So back to item number 4, letters from Registry for Charitable Trust. Is there anyone who wants to speak?
Point of information. Oh, yeah.
What's your question?
I was asking if we should approve the agenda, but Bill...
Oh, I'm sorry. Exactly. That's where we were. Sorry about that. Thank you, Bill. I believe that was already seconded. Are there any objections to approving the agenda? Hearing no objections, the agenda is approved. And now on to item 4. Letters from registry. Is there anyone who wants to speak to this?
This is Bill Crozier. May I have the floor? Sorry, I was muted.
Go ahead, Bill.
Okay, and I don't know if Lydia Brazone's on the call. I was hoping maybe she could give us an update. But just want to let the public know, because there's been a lot of discussion about this. This was, I guess, what might have been in an executive session, except for the fact that those of us on the Pacific National Board actually found out about this because a Pacifica member discovered this on a public website and told us about it. So about 2 weeks ago, we learned that there was a letter from the Registry for Charitable Trusts, which is part of the Attorney General of California, their office. There was a letter sent in October and another one in December to Pacifica notifying us of possible impending loss of our state tax exemption due to not having current audits. So it was a first warning letter and then a repeat warning letter in December, and we only found out about it a couple of weeks ago. So this was just briefly mentioned in the executive session last week, but I guess one thing I wanted to do is make sure our public knows, our members and our staff and everybody knows that we have not lost our tax exemption yet, but it's likely to happen if we don't get our audits done very soon, and we really need to get going on that. I just want to stress the importance, the real extreme importance of getting our audits done, because this affects the state tax exempt for California, so obviously KPFA and KPFK would be directly affected. But also, the federal law also requires audits every year, timely audits, not 2 years late or a year and a half late after the deadline, and we could lose our federal tax exemption, which in turn could cause us to lose our licenses, at least for the stations that are below 92 megahertz in the nonprofit portion of the spectrum. The frequencies below 92 megahertz on the FM band are reserved for tax-exempt nonprofit institutions. So just want to stress how serious this is. It's really it really is serious, and I guess I'll let other people talk. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Anyone else to the stack?
This is Rhonda. I'd like to ask Bill a question.
Go ahead, Rhonda.
Bill, what about the fact, though, that we are delinquent? I saw an email saying that because we are delinquent doesn't mean that our tax status has changed or anything like that, but because we are delinquent that we are not allowed to raise funds. Do you know if that's true?
Well, I'm not an attorney. I don't think that's true yet. I think that would happen if we lose our tax exempt status. But we did get a confirmation. I saw an email that we're still tax exempt now. But this was basically a warning letter from the Registry for Charitable Trust that we would lose our tax exemption, or would likely lose our tax exemption, if we don't get our audits done very soon and get caught up. So can somebody else comment on that? Maybe somebody who's an attorney and knows more about it than me? Or anybody else that's read all those letters that we got?
Bill, I have another question. This is Andrea.
Hi, Andrea.
Hi. I would like to know, did the letter specify a timeline? You're saying we must get caught up. What's the timeline for getting caught up, and what's delaying us from getting caught up?
Okay, Ms. Crozier, may I respond?
Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I'm reading right now from the second notice, which is the one that was sent December 5th. It says that it appears from our review of Form RRF-1. For the fiscal year ending 9/30/2015, so this would have been fiscal year 2015, that an independent audit was required, et cetera, but we note that no audit was conducted. So please either provide a copy of the independent audit conducted for the affected year or explain why the organization was exempt from this requirement. And it mentions how failure to file that violates Government Code Section 12586 and may result in the suspension or revocation of registration. And then in bold print under that, it says, unless the above-described reports are filed with the Registry of Charitable Trusts within 30 days of the date of this letter, which would have been over a month ago, the following would occur. And then there's a sequence of actions that would be involved to disallow our tax exemption and impose late fees. Now, you know, we haven't gotten much direct, information on this, except we were told that there was a request for another extension filed by somebody in the national office, and I'm not sure we actually got that other extension though. But I'm sure it's a very limited amount of time, and it's probably unlikely we're actually going to get. We haven't actually started on the 2015 audit, much less the 2016
Bill,
audit. So
there's a letter that came out. Or an email that
I'm
came
sorry,
out,
who's that?
Lydia, that extended it to March 12th.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
This I don't is know Grace if it's true, but I did see it.
This is Grace to be back.
Okay, Grace. Does someone else want to be on the stack?
This is Sabrina to the stack, please.
Yeah.
Okay, Grace and Sabrina.
Okay, the fact that we haven't gotten our audits done in a timely manner is very troubling. We have still not paid in full for the 2014 audit. We need to complete as rapidly as possible the 2015 and 2016 audit. The stumbling block in this is several of our stations have had very inadequate bookkeeping and the financial reporting. And we have no chief financial officer at this time. I think we have not had a chief financial officer for about 5 months. The national office staff is understaffed. The finance staff at the national office is understaffed. And with a foundation that has a total revenue of between $10 and $12 million, having these deficiencies is not acceptable to me as a board member, and I don't think it should be acceptable to the public. We need to do whatever we have to do to get these audits done as rapidly as possible so that we are in compliance with state and federal rules and regulations. It's a very urgent matter, and I think that this board should have this as a top priority. Thank you.
And Sabrina.
Well, I think it's more of a request for information. Okay. It's understandable that we need to do all of those things, and as a board, we need to do it, and we need to do it with a cogent plan. What is that plan? What's part one? What's part two? What's part three? How are we going to execute this in the timely manner, or the very short timely manner that we do have? How are we going to do it? What needs to be done first? That's my question.
Good question. Would someone like to answer her question?
This is Catherine for the stack.
Crozier and Catherine and Alex. So I have
let
Bill and Catherine and Alex.
Let the ones that haven't spoken go first.
Okay.
And Rhonda.
Rhonda.
Yes.
Okay. Catherine, go ahead.
I would say that the first thing would be to pay for the persons who have been conducting the audit. If we, I believe I heard it stated that money was owed for the 2014 audit. So that needs to be paid so that the persons who are able to complete it would be willing to complete it. And so in that regard, I would say I believe that that's the first step, is to raise the money. And one way to do that, which may already be in progress, is to direct the stations to dedicate some days of fundraising for the specific purpose, so that that income would go directly to the payment for some of these audits. So to me, that's the first step. So I would move that we direct the stations to raise, spend 2 or 3 days in the current fund drives to raise dedicated funds to pay for the audit to take place.
Okay.
I second
Alex?
That.
Okay, we have a
Robert Mark for the stack.
Robert?
I guess it's a new stack, so I'd like to be on the stack again.
Okay, so it's a new stack then. Robert, go ahead.
What? Some of you may not be aware, there is an initiative to have such a fundraiser amongst, I think, a bunch of LSBs that were coordinating, or maybe it was staff, I'm not sure, to have a dedicated fundraiser for the audit, which I don't think has ever been discussed by this board. But I think that there are some people that have been laying the groundwork for this, and I'm wondering if anybody knows the status of that and how it would work into this motion.
May I respond?
Go ahead.
That's where it's coming from. The CAB in New York City has brought this suggestion. I don't know about other stations, and the motion was passed by the WBAI LSB. And so I'm bringing it up here in response to a first step to be able to pay the back bill on the audit and move forward. So that's where my motion was initiated with, as far as I'm aware, the CAB in New York.
Okay. And Rhonda, did you want to speak on this?
Well, I was just going to agree with Catherine that paying the auditors for the 14 audit is important. I also hope, I don't know if I've missed the talk, but are we going to hire a different auditing firm, a different accounting firm? Or are we going to stick with, is it Armenio and Armenio? Who knows? Does somebody know?
I believe that was discussed.
Bill Crozier.
Meeting. Go ahead, Bill.
I don't think anybody's been authorized yet to do the 2015 or 2016 audit, so I don't know if it'll be Armenino again or somebody else. Normally, we'd get a recommendation from the audit committee, but of course, the PNB could take action on that anyway. But we'd obviously need to talk to and see who's available and interested in and affordable. Also, if I was going to, maybe I missed it, but if somebody has the text of that motion that the WBI CAB passed or recommended, or that your LSB passed, I forget which it was, I guess it was the CAB. If you want to send it to us, we could consider that tonight, right now. But we need the text of that motion. I don't have it handy. I've seen it. I thought it was good.
Catherine, if you would have that in writing somewhere, you could send that to the board.
I'll look for it.
I was on the spec, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
I certainly want to endorse this motion, and I would also like to point out that we need an infusion of cash from these dedicated fundraisers as soon as possible, and it should be understood that some of that cash may have to go toward hiring the infrastructure that we're going to need to assist the auditors. It appears that the finance staff at the national offices is not sufficient for what we're going to have to do. And I would say a top priority should be the hiring of a CFO who will drive this whole initiative from the national office side of things.
Thank you.